You know, I went on a spree in 83, skiing in Switzerland, a little golf in Scotland, sailing and fishing off the coast of Mexico, swimming in Hawaii, and on my way to that city by the bay with its restaurants and ambiance, San Francisco, I decided to stop over in Duluth to catch my breath. But you know what? It took my breath away. I could have saved myself a lot of travel, and you know why? Because it's all right here. Duluth. Who loves you, baby? I do.
TBTL!
Hey, welcome to my show, everybody! I know you did pay $100, but here's $100 back to you. And after my show, I shall live in Court Sports Box House on the street because I do not understand financials and I am poverty. So enjoy my show. Boom, ta, boom, ta, boom, ta.
I have no idea what you just said, but I feel totally transformed.
Let the filibustering begin.
Well, hello and good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Monday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
Ziggle zag it. Let's get back at it.
My name is Luke Burbank. I am your host coming to you today from Studio P in the upstairs region of the American Public Media / Minnesota Public Radio mothership at 7th and Cedar on a extremely rainy morning here in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Man, it is nasty out there.
We have so much to talk about here on episode 2884 in a collector series.
And I'm going
to
get all anecdotal on you.
Lots of personal stories about questionable haircuts and a pizza order I called in last night. And, well, also, actually, some real topics.
Let the fun begin.
In a segment that we're calling Minnesota
Noise,
where we talk about stories from right here in St. Paul, Minnesota, including the fact that they banned those rental scooters for a little while, and I wonder if I played a role in that because I did take what has been described in local media as an epic scooter ride once on Andrew's dime. So I don't know. I may have played a role in that issue. Also, a haberdashery here in St. Paul is building a radio studio, and I want this episode of the show to officially be my application to have a show at the haberdashery in St. Paul, because it sounds like the most delightful thing I've ever heard of in my life. So we'll talk about that too. Speaking of the most delightful people you've ever met in your life, let's get this guy on the program, the longest running Cobra of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace, and their splendor. He's going to be out looking for the finest tacos to be had here in the St. Paul area. Of course, that's later. He's going to start with a fish sandwich, though, which I don't think it's too early for here because of the time difference. He is Andrew
Fireball
Walsh, and he joins me right now from just across this L-shaped table setup in Studio P. Good morning, my Cobro. How are you feeling, bud?
I'm feeling good. I know that I look like a, I stopped the music. See, this is the kind of stuff that is happening. I'm using a new computer today, and I'm learning the ins and outs of this. And
you have a lot.
I'm acting way more stressed out than I should be. I always hate acting like this in front of you because you're such a cool customer.
I'm really not.
But you know how it is. I've just been using the same computer
totally,
and the same software every day. There are a million small little keystrokes and mouse clicks and all these things, and I'm trying to get used to a new computer here, issued here by the company, so that I don't have to take my huge laptop on our Australia trip next
right.
week. So I thought this would be a good week. We're kind of quasi on the road here, as in I'm out of my usual studio, but I'm in the obviously comfortable confines mm-hmm. of American Public Media, where there's a lot of tech support. So I'm trying this new computer, and it's just like a lot of little things are different. And so I'm, you know, it's like I told you before the show, it's a little bit like trying to write with your left hand.
Yeah, so. I get it. In fact, for, you know, a number of years, I was not only the host of the show, but also chief engineer, which, ooh, that was a bad situation. And I can't believe any of the listeners stuck with us through that dark period of the program before you came along. But I totally understand that when you're dealing with different little knobs and buttons and faders, that's just on the sound side. Then you've got this new computer you're working with. It's a lot. And then you throw on top of that the fact that we have no fewer than 17 and a half meetings
I know.
Scheduled today. It's the half meeting that really gets you. I don't know why they didn't just do a full meeting. Mm-hmm. For some reason, they just said
I think it has something to do with the way the census counts mm-hmm. meetings.
Right.
I don't think it's actually a half a meeting.
Land shouldn't vote, as far as I'm concerned.
That's what I say. One man, one vote. That's
Thank
what
you.
I always say.
No, we have. We're very excited to be here at the home office, but we don't get out here all that frequently. And so when we do, there are lots of meetings to take. I'm trying to make it sound real Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking some meetings
taking
today.
Some meetings.
We're doing lunch. We're having our people talk to their people.
Actually, can I just jump in 1 second and say we actually don't have any lunch meetings right now. And I like that. I'd rather have a bunch of meetings and then when you and I have a chance, go grab food or individually.
Let's be honest.
If you don't want.
In the world's worst food court. No offense.
It's
peace
so
and love.
Funny. This is my fourth trip to St. Paul, and I don't want to talk smack about St. Paul, but like the first time I came here, I feel like I was just like tiptoeing uh-huh. down the street, prancing down the street. I was very happy to be here in another good Midwestern town. Growing up in Cleveland, it's always fun to be back in the Midwest. And this may be my fourth trip out here, and I got to say, like, I arrived on a Sunday afternoon, and the streets were just dead. I forgot how dead downtown St. Paul is on a Sunday, and it kind of made me sad. And now I should be looking forward to my potbelly sandwich, but I already have the I'm already skipping ahead past the sandwich and thinking about like the regretful feeling I have from eating too much grease for lunchtime.
That food court, it feels a little post-apocalyptic to me because there's so much kind of underground and contained skyway. Like, this mm-hmm. is a city and that's built for some inclement weather, right? Some mm-hmm. very cold times, as I learned today, some very rainy times. And so it's all kind of habit trails and contained. But what that means is you're in this food court that's kind of in the nerve center of an intersection of various, like, kind of soulless office buildings slash some mall type of thing mm-hmm. slash some weird city offices.
Yeah.
And there's no natural light can penetrate where you are. And
it's always too warm.
I would argue that the potbelly is by far and away the best food available there. And what I'm amazed by is that after – I can't believe I'm starting on such a negative note. I apologize. But after we've been here for like 3 or 4 days, I think you and I are both like, okay, that's enough of that place. We see our coworkers down there.
Yeah.
This is their life.
Yeah.
You run into an Eric Stromstad at some weird bento box place, and it's like – bro has been eating that for 9 years. What are you doing with your life,
right.
The Viking? Like, I can't believe that our coworkers frequent that food area because I'm burned out on it after like 3 days.
Now, there are other secret food areas.
Yeah,
mean,
but they're worse.
Secret.
I went down one of those.
Yeah.
I went down one of those habit trails last time. I think you and I might have done it together.
Yeah.
First of all,
did we
unbelievably
we
long
on
lines. Unbelievably long lines for unbelievably mediocre food.
Yeah.
And like you said, very sweaty because mm-hmm. you're all bundled up, you're running around, and then all of a sudden you're in kind of like a small underground cavern with a bunch of other people who are all kind of in their warm clothes, and it really drives temperature. Okay, listen.
Let's bring the nose up on this.
Thank
Can
you.
I tell you one piece of good news so
yes.
far?
I still haven't even gotten to my essential question for you yet.
Oh, yeah.
Let's start with the good news, though.
My good news is I just wanted to let you know, because I think as a airplane maximizer, you'll
yes.
be happy to know that I got an aisle seat in an exit row with an empty seat next to me on the way here.
Beautiful.
Which was amazing. I downloaded the Alaska Airlines app. I had already picked out my seat in advance, but I checked my seats really, really briefly while watching TV with Genevieve on Saturday night. And she was looking over my shoulder because she is like you, right?
Yes.
And I was like, yep, same seat, looks good. She's like, whoa, 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 go back. And I'm like, what? She's like, that's an exit row, and it doesn't have a dollar sign on it, which means you can take that exit row without paying more, and there's nobody even next to you right now. She's like,
you
grab
owe this
that.
Woman everything.
I really, really do. I would have been back in the in the urinal cake country back there, where everything, back by the bathrooms, where everything smells like a weird chemical mint.
My flight out was also a kind of fairly lightly attended event. And so I was able to get a pretty primo seat as well, which made it a nice, comfortable flight. I will say this, though. The thing I wanted to talk about with you is our 17 and a half meetings. Now,
uh-huh.
as you and I have been sitting here getting ready to do the show this morning, there has just been a constant stream of emails coming in from our actual boss, Mr. Mike Resler, to our actual colleagues. It's just like... every second, people are saying, can we meet with you this afternoon? The meetings are overlapping. We're going to be interviewing a conversation with our friend Nora McInerney later today. There's all this stuff happening. And I know that having lots of stuff happening it can be something that weighs on you. Are you going to be able to do the show? Are you able to put that out of your mind and do the show? Or is it stressing you out? Because it's kind of stressing me out. And I'm a inveterate overscheduler. And even I'm like, okay, this is getting a little crazy. Like, we have a meeting with the promotions folks to get the TBTL-a-thon 10 from the Lobster Dilemma, to get some really cool thank you prizes together for that. We have a meeting with our boss, Mike Ressler, before he flies out. We're going to dinner tonight with our former boss, Steve El Ropo Nelson. I think I'm forgetting one to two other meetings in the
marketing.
Afternoon.
Marketing. Did you mention the marketing
meeting?
No,
we're going to a marketing meeting. Yeah. Like, this is a lot in one day. Even, like I said, for me, and I tend to be overscheduled, are you feeling okay? And I'm not saying that sarcastically or like to make fun of you. Like, are you doing okay?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, the bummer is we're here kind of for the entire week, but it's amazing how fast that week goes away. Like, everybody was available on Monday. Nobody's available on Wednesday, right? So right now we have...
Well, that means we have no choice but to go to the St. Paul Saints
game. I know.
Game.
That's the one thing we did have. We have one 11 a.m. meeting now, I believe, on... Oh, no, that's on Tuesday. We're still free to go to the St. Paul Saints game. I think that, what did I say in the text message to you? Would it be good hashtag content if we went to a St. Paul Saints game on Wednesday and talked about on Thursday? Or would it be bad form that you and I are out here working for the company, but we just decide to, we only work until noon and then we go to baseball games?
Why don't we record something at the baseball game?
We could do that.
And then we can officially write it off.
That's a good point.
Also, the fact that they're playing the Chicago Dogs.
I know.
Come on.
That means they have sport peppers on them.
That just is the greatest name ever for a minor league baseball team, the Chicago Dogs.
I actually, you and I were texting about this last night or yesterday afternoon, because I looked at the schedule. I'm like, wow, there's one game we could potentially go see, and that's at 1 o'clock on Wednesday. And then I thought, well, one way we could like kind of make it even more acceptable is if you and I become like the Pied Pipers of truancy. I just made that up, by the way, but I actually want to write that book now, where maybe we just get everybody in the programming department to come with us. What if we just like start spreading the word, just kind of like, hey, 1 o'clock, let's get out of here. 12:30. We're going to siege over at the field is like less than 10 blocks from here.
I feel like we should try to cut a lower profile, not
yeah, that
high.
Might,
although,
yeah.
Where is our boss, Mike Ressler, flying to?
I think Washington, D.C., the nation's capital.
You never hear about it in D.C., so maybe we should.
That is true. There's no way to – this signal doesn't go that far, does it?
I don't think so. So, I mean, if we were going to pull a caper, if we were going to have a jailbreak, if we were going to go one flew over the cuckoo's nest on
yeah.
it. I like the idea that we go up to we go up to Eric and we're like, Viking – come on, get us out of here. He's like, I'm not strong today.
And then he threw a chair through a window
yeah.
for some reason.
But he couldn't pick up that sink. Anyway, I'd be down for that. I do think that we should go to the game because I've always wanted to go to a St. Paul Saints game.
I know,
my
too.
Whole dang life. And it's finally actually possible. Two quick things before we go to the break. One, if we do find the lunchtime fare to be less than satisfactory here, I have a backup plan, which is Topper's Pizza, which I ordered at like 12:30 last night in the hotel.
You have leftover pizza at your hotel?
No, we
room
just
right
call
now?
Topper's again.
Oh, okay.
Regional chain Topper's Pizza, and we have them bring us some pizza here in Studio P. Last night when I got to the hotel, I took a much later flight than you did. And I got to the hotel at like 12:30 or something, and it was Easter still, or I guess technically it had stopped being Easter by a half hour, but everything was pretty much closed. I called a Domino's Pizza, Andrew. The person who answered was so high.
Ha!
Like, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, we'd like to welcome new sponsor, Domino's Pizza. I've never had an experience like this. I called. They were so confused. The person that worked
really?
At the pizza place, they were just talking gibberish. And I said, is there somebody else there who can help me? And they were just like, it was just talking to a person who, or, I mean, I'm assuming high, who they had taken something and it had gotten on top of them. And they were in charge of the pizza.
Wow. Well, it was 4:21, dude.
I mean,
was
got a minute.
Date?
Got
yeah.
minus 1 minute.
Yeah.
But so that was kind of crazy, actually. And then I checked out Yelp, and every review of this location was miserable.
Really?
It was had the worst reviews I've ever seen of like a pizza place.
Especially a national chain. You would just need
it is
a lot
apparently
of
just a disaster, according to the online reviews. So I was like, well, what else is there? Turns out a place called Topper's Pizza. The company is headquartered in Whitewater, Wisconsin. I became obsessed with Topper's Pizza the moment I called them, and they very politely put me on hold because they were taking other orders. And the hold music, if you will, the guy who talks to you on hold was so funny. These recordings. Mm. It's like an announcery guy, but he's in his 50s, but he keeps trying to tell you that he's 22. He's trying to use like youthful phrases. This is very like us. And it's I wish we could call it right now, but I called it this morning, and because they're closed, it's a different message.
Okay.
Otherwise, I would seriously have you call it right now.
Yeah, I was reaching for my phone.
It's great though. Like
we could just
was...
call him and say, "Could you put us on hold, please? We want to hear the hold guy."
Well, they may actually be open by now. When I called earlier today, they were still closed. The hold guy was great though. I was really enjoying it. Then I decided let's find out more about Topper's Pizza. So I went to their Wikipedia page, and a couple of interesting, dazzling deets jumped out. One thing, the sort of history of Topper's Pizza, Andrew, is it was originally called Topper's Pizza, TOPPER apostrophe S, like the pizza place that belongs to somebody named Topper.
Okay, yeah.
But Wikipedia says the chain removed the apostrophe from its name as part of its marketing strategy to give it a more informal image.
Because it was that apostrophe that really just kind of made everybody feel like, what, do I have to wear a tuxedo to order
this
pizza?
Do I eat this with a tiny spoon? Can you imagine looking at a pizza place and seeing it's called Topper's and seeing an apostrophe and thinking, too fancy for me.
Oh, we can't afford that.
We're not a Topper's family. So anyway, the pizza was very yummy, by the way, and they were very professional.
What'd you get on yours?
I go with onion, green pepper, and black olives.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it was delicious. And I will also say that I almost had a moment of being a little bit of a pill because I now order a fair amount of food to hotel rooms because I'm living my best life. It's always a minor kind of subtle negotiation of if they're going to actually bring it to your room or to the lobby. Now, I tend to think they want to bring it to the lobby because they're busy. I respect that they're working hard, and if they have a lot of deliveries, it's much more time consuming to go up the elevator into the room, blah, blah, blah. So the guy calls and he says, "Hey, this is so-and-so from Topper's Pizza. No apostrophe since 2004, which I honestly think calling attention to that is more pretentious. No, he said it's the guy from Topper's Pizza. He goes, "I'm going to be in the lobby of the hotel in like a minute." And I said, "Oh, could you bring it up to the room?" And he said, "Actually, the hotel doesn't let us bring stuff up." And I was like, in my mind, I was like, "Okay, I'll be down." And in my mind, I was – because now at this point, it's like 1:15. I'm very tired. Apparently, I need my bedtime pizza. Mm-hmm. I could have just gone to sleep. Like, why I needed to – eat this pizza at 1:15 in the morning, it remains a mystery. But in my mind, Andrew, I was like, this guy says that every single hotel he goes to, that's his spiel. It's his way of not having to come up to the room.
Oh, like, maybe. Yeah, I could see it being a company policy on either side, either with the hotels or the delivery people. For the hotels, as more and more things are easily delivered, from all of the different, you know, it's not just pizza anymore and Chinese food. The fact that, you know, you can have a tube of toothpaste brought up to you, maybe hotels are kind of like, we don't want tons of people coming through here all the time. Like, I could see them instituting
that policy. I was rehearsing my whole, like, withering stare when I got out there.
Oh, yeah.
To give him, you know, the tip and to get the pizza. And I was honestly considering, not in front of him, but later going over to the overnight guy and saying, like, do you guys let pizza go? Like, I was really – I felt somehow really wronged by this. Mm. And then I get out of the elevator, and the pizza guy's, like, totally nice, totally professional. What do you mean, of course?
Well, I just mean
– I mean, this guy was trying to run a scam on me of not bringing the pizza to my room, at least I thought.
You know what I wish that you had done was, like, gone really Seattle passive-aggressive, like, gone out and, like – hired some other delivery person to bring you, like, classic pajamas with a nightcap on, like one of those pointy, like,
sure, hats. Do I have a candle? Am I allowed to have a candle in this hotel hallway?
Candle holder.
Who goes there?
I had to come down from my bed to get the pizza.
You've rousted me from my sleep. So in front of, by the way, the guy who works there, the overnight front desk guy at the hotel, the pizza guy's like, yeah, I think he just, like, before I even get to it, he goes, I know, it's so annoying, we can't bring it up to the room. He's like, I think somebody was banging on the door loud, and no. So they don't let us. And this is all happening in front. I know he's not lying because the dude that works for the hotel is right there too. And then I'm like, oh, I'm such a jerk. Like, I had anticipated this whole thing. I thought I was somehow being, you know, not given, you know, white glove service. And it was just like the rule. Anyway, the pizza was great from Topper's.
And also, you weren't a jerk. You were saved by the people around you, not unlike our president. You conspired to be a jerk, but you never actually were a jerk.
I did one jerk thing, which was I was going to tip him. I tipped him.
Okay.
I tipped him. But I was going to tip him $5,
mm-hmm.
which was a generous tip. That was like a 20% tip. But then I had a loose single around, and if he brought it to the room, I was going to give him $6.
Right.
And then because I was kind of in my little like grumpy mode, I was like, $5 will do.
Yeah.
So like I reduced his tip by a dollar over something that ended up really not being his fault. And I wished I would have had that loose dollar with me because I thought he deserved $6.
I don't know if it's worth getting into now, but I will run one thing by you. I basically have a flat fee that I pay that I tip when it comes to food delivery. And I don't know if that's wrong of me. Like, some things are based on, you know, like if you're at a restaurant and you have a really expensive bill, it means that the server had to come and go and do a bunch of things because you ordered tons of food or there's a lot
like
of people
usually,
there.
I'll order a plate of rice, one piece of rice at a time.
One grain at a time.
Spring
yeah.
it out, sure. grain by grain.
Yeah. And then you don't tip on that, right?
Well, of course not.
Right, because why would you
I want the
one
grains brought to my hotel room.
but if I'm ordering like a pizza and I get an extra large pizza instead of a large pizza and it's a little bit more money, like I don't know that that should be reflected in the tip because it's not any harder for the delivery
You're
person to bring
four,
it.
Carrying four more inches of pizza
yeah.
to your door.
And I don't know if that's wrong or not. Where was I? In the coffee shop the other day, you know, a lot of things are automated now. They have those little like tablets. You just scan your card and the barista will swipe it around to you. And often it'll say, what do you want to tip? 15%, 20%, or 25% or other. And sometimes I'll click other. This time, you know, I'll be honest, it was Broadcast Coffee. I love the folks there. Barry supports the show. Like, I just went 15%. But I realized that I was tipping 15% on a bag of unground coffee beans I was buying. And technically, like, if you're tipping a barista, the tip should probably reflect, like, oh, well, I bought a fancy drink that was a lot of work for the barista. Tipping 15% on a bag that I just brought to the counter, probably, that doesn't make sense either, right?
So you know I'm that you're edging up to the, but you're edging up to the CNBC argument.
Right, exactly. And I don't want to. And what I try to do is just tip, like, for me, I always tip $5 on a food delivery, which always seems good to me. But maybe that's outdated now. Maybe $5 is like at the lower level of what you should be tipping. What do you think?
Well, I hadn't thought of it this way until you mentioned this, but you're right. I mean, I think that I usually – what I tip them – well, first of all, it has to do with what I have on hand.
Yeah.
And then it has to do with, I guess, kind of what the cost of the food is. Because in my mind, it's like – I'm thinking of it as in the context of being at a restaurant, like you said. But you're right. It's like if I get the carrying of the food, unless we're talking about a ridiculous amount of food.
Yeah.
The carrying of the food just kind of is what it is.
Yeah.
Whether it's $10 worth of food or $30 worth of food. So it's not like they're not making multiple trips to the table to mm-hmm. check on us, whatever.
Yeah.
So I think $5 is probably a pretty good rule of thumb. I was just mad at myself that I had kind of like – I was dinging this guy money as some kind of weird, bizarre punishment over a thing that he was just doing his job, and he was actually very nice. And again, the pizza was very good. And I don't know how we would even do this, but at some point I feel like we do need to record the Topper's outgoing guy, because I really – whoever's writing those things is really doing a good job.
Now, they are open now. I could call them and put this phone on speakerphone. We could do it after the break, too, if you want to.
Are you willing to call them and say, could you put me on hold?
Oh, yeah. I'll be honest. I mean, I'll just say, hey, my buddy was telling me you guys have really – I'm in from out of town, and my friend said you have a really funny hold message. Can you put me on hold for a little bit so
oh
I can listen
God.
To it? Is that embarrassing?
It's just like – I feel like that person's going to go like, what are you guys doing with your life? But that's fine.
Yeah, I'm not going to say my buddy Luke Burbank.
Well, okay. I was going
to say my buddy Eric Stromstead.
He's upstairs trying to pull a sink out of the floor to orchestrate a jailbreak on Wednesday for the St. Paul Saints game. Okay, let's do that. Let's take a quick break, and then we will come back. We will call the local Topper's Pizza. See if I'm sure that I've now way overpromised on mm-hmm. how great. Remember, 1 in the morning – I was unexpectedly delighted by it. now here in the harsh, rainy light of day. It may not be as funny, but we'll give it a shot anyway. Stay with us. It's TBTL.
Ricky works in a record store on the weekend between Vincent and 2nd Street, writing songs on a VS-848 track, using MIDI to push the beats. Tony drives for the Inland Empire Weekly, reads the trades and he's signing up, playing drums with the Teenage Bon Scott Revival, gigging out once or twice a month. Hear the news and your blues taking over the suburbs. On the streets with the beats and all the girls hanging out. Ricky says we should sing Caroline, Caroline, secretly Minnesota.
I believe we played this last time we were doing the show from here. This is Tully Craft, Secretly Minnesotan. Every time I hear Tully Craft, I am reminded of how much I love Tully Craft. And actually, they listen to the show, or at least do a good job of pretending that they occasionally listen to the show, because we hear from the folks in Tully Craft sometimes when we play them.
Even still?
Well, we haven't played this for a year, so I
guess. But around then, you got a note from them? Oh, yeah. No kidding. And were they ever on the show?
I don't think so. But I love this song so much, and I love the band Tully Craft. You should all, this is from Disenchanted Hearts. All right. I guess we're going to do this.
Yeah, you want me to call this?
Almost no chance this is going to work.
I agree. I'm glad that your expectations are there, because this is also a new phone. I don't know how quickly
Are there any pieces of technology that you're not using for the first time today?
I got new shoes on. They're cutting my feet.
Oh, no,
I got
really? Still?
No. They feel a lot better. I think they've been broken in.
You broke their spirit.
I did.
Somebody you have broke. To just walk around the shoe four times, tie up its sole. That's a breaking a horse reference, by the way.
Let's give this a shot, though. Now, can I put it on speaker?
Why am I so embarrassed about
it? Welcome to Topper's Pizza. Have you seen this pick any two or more for $5.99 each deal? Pizza, sticks, wings, mac, monkey bread, pretzel bites. One place shouldn't be allowed to have so many great tasting options. Hold tight. A team member's right here to take your order.
This is the guy, by the way.
You know what's brand new at Topper's? Introducing Pretzel Bites. Oh, man, these things. They're soft and salty and chewy and just $5.99. The last time you could get something so delicious for so little money, it was one of the other five things on our $5.99 menu. At Topper's, we've got great-tasting options for any mood. Whether you're bringing home that big old pepperoni pie to the family or grabbing nacho sticks at 3 in the morning after a night at the club.
Nacho sticks.
I'm a real club goer, if you couldn't tell. Well, you know, actually, I'm only 22. My voice kind of throws people off. If you can,
there it is. That was your, that was it. That was your,
I think there's more after that, but
enough, you'll be able to just tell your robot to do it. He'll say, beep, 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 and the driver will be at your door in no time. He'll also be a robot. Then you'll take a bite and short circuit. You're a robot. Robots can't eat pizza.
I'm in.
You're right.
I'm in.
I love it. Yeah. He was just like, it goes on and on and on from there. But I was like, this is a pretty quality, like, outgoing message for a regional pizza chain.
Absolutely. I'm sorry I stepped on that last one.
That,
there.
Believe it or not, went better than I expected. Just the fact that it picked up and it was the guy in question.
Yeah.
The recording of the guy in question. Also, I just realized something. How much of our content when we come to Minnesota is pizza related? Because we've had extensive conversations about Heggie's pizza as well.
That is true. Right. Now, Heggie's must have a vegetarian option. Do you think that – what are the chances of you downing a flayed Heggie's pizza?
Well, see,
I
wouldn't flay it anymore. That's the thing.
Oh, okay.
New Luke – No meat, no alcohol, but lots of carbs.
Lots of carbs.
Tons of carbs. So I would happily eat a Heggie's pizza. I kind of doubt they have a vegetarian option. Heggie's seems like they're like, oh, our crust is all made out of pork product. We can't – sorry. Right. There's no non-meat option on a Heggie's pizza.
Right, yeah. If you order it, they just say, go back to Seattle. And it's not even because they know we're from Seattle. It's just a
right
automatic response.
It's a regional thing. Let's –
On your mark.
On your mark.
Get set.
Get set.
Now ready.
Ready.
Go.
Everybody rattle, dazzle.
Let's thank some dazzling donors here. as I quickly cycle through my emails. Andrew, you're working on a whole new system of computers and the like. I don't have my normal printing.
Oh, that's true.
As you know, is key to everything that I do. It is really funny how bad I am at navigating between like emails and various things. If it's all digital, I will someday they will find me dead, slumped over the microphone, clutching a giant stack of printed out things. Like I print out the Dazzling Donors every day.
I understand. Listen, I have, even when I'm hosting at Cairo, like I've gone and I just usually am used to working from a digital screen. Like even if I'm like leading a segment and I have to be the one to like kind of give the details of a story, I'll go through the story in advance and like copy and paste the parts I want into a fresh document. And that's how I usually do it. But I understand it is way easier probably if you have the forethought and the ink cartridges and everything else that goes along with printing it out just to grab a piece of paper. I don't think that is, you know, we tease each other for our own approaches to that, but I don't think what you're saying is out of line.
For me, it's just like I feel so much more secure if I know that I can just like just grab, like I have a piece of paper here that I wrote by hand the show sheet on. If I can just like look at it, or if I have an article, I can turn the article, you know, the page over and see the next part of it. Scrolling, there is I don't want to shame them, but back in Seattle, where we're from, where all of the Heggie's pizzas are above average and non-meat related, there's a person who occasionally fills in on the local public radio station, and they're actually quite experienced at reading copy, but it's clear to me that they're always just reading it off the screen, and there's a page break, and they do this thing where it's like they pause weirdly, and it's because I know they're trying to scroll down to the next page, and I'm just like, please, I don't know, get rid of the page break, reformat, print, do whatever you have to do to just get through this in a less awkward way. And it happens every time this person's on the radio. And I'm like, am I the only one noticing it? Am I insane? Have I lost my mind?
Trying to figure out if I can repeat something that you told me, which is, I think, one of the funniest jokes. Do you even know what I'm thinking of
right now? I think so, and I don't think you can. It's so specific.
Okay.
It is so specific, and we have enough people that listen to the show
that
it will absolutely bust the person in question out. But I'm glad to know, Andrew, that you know who I'm talking about.
Is that the same person that you're talking about now? I was wondering. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, good. Well, this has been this is a really, really good way to not demonstrate the value of the show as we are thanking people who donate a bunch of money to theirs. Look at you, Walsh.
That one made it.
You're hot, my friend.
I just threw a tissue across the room and it landed directly in the garbage can.
That was, I would play like a, you know, Kevin Calabro, Good Golly Miss Molly drop, but I'm busy razzling and dazzling on my computer over here. All right, we're thanking Dazzling Donors. These are people that are donating a really generous amount of money every month to the show. It is a big part of the bottom line. Let's be honest, this is why they let us in the building here, is because of the donations from the listeners. No donations. I mean, we're cute. We're likable. Ish.
Wait, who is the cute one?
But the good folks here at APM, they would not allow us to work here just based on our cute likability. It's because the show actually is able to more or less pay its own freight because of donations from wonderful people like Hess Sa. Hess says, Hess, like the gas station. I don't actually know how to pronounce Hess. I've just seen it. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, I've never, like, aloud said, hey, are we going to get some gas? Let's go buy the Hess. I've just seen it written and assumed that's how I'm pronouncing it.
I think you're nailing it.
Now, Hess is in South Korea. Hess is in Songdo. That's the city. Or Songdo. And then Incheon is the state. Songdo, Incheon, South Korea is where Hess is at. Hess says, hello, friendos. I want to thank TBTL for reminding me that there is so much hope and love in the world. I got my dose of the cure for global loneliness. Thank you to Megan Twomey from Elmira, New York, for organizing the first South Korea 10 meetup that I know of. Something tells me that was Hess and Megan at that. We've got a few listeners in South Korea, but I assume it's a fairly spread out place.
Maybe that's our next year's TBTelethon. We travel from one end of the island to the other.
I hear the north is lovely this time of year. The northern part of Korea.
Yeah.
That'd be the only way to up the ante. Like, they survived the outback, and what's next?
First, we go through the demilitarized zone.
Could we get Dennis Rodman to be our escort?
I think we need to.
I also want to give a shout out to my TBTL Dougie parent friend from Massachusetts, Melissa and Joe Boyle. Coconut and I miss you guys. But most importantly, I want to thank all the tens of service members, including my 11, Chris, the poor bastard, has to not only protect the free world, but put up with me and my gassy dog, Coconut.
The aforementioned Coconut. Yeah. Now we're learning that
and
Coconut's
also I
gassy.
Feel like Hess is trying to really build the case that that's Coconut with the gas. I don't know.
I'm just saying.
Terry!
Exactly what I was going to say. Be like my grandfather blaming all the farts on the dog, Terry.
Luke and Andrew, thank you for the show. I hope you continue to do the work that gives you joy and brings you happiness. Smiley face, power out, listener Hess. Thank you, listener Hess, for donating to the show. And thanks for just being awesome and being in the TBTL ecosystem for many years. We've seen Hess's name on many a communication, and we really do appreciate it. It's really fun being here at the mothership because it's a reminder, particularly in one of our 17 and a half meetings today, when we get together with the promotions folks and get together with the people that are going to help us with the thank you gifts. It's just kind of a reminder that, like, I don't know, this is a real thing, and that there's a bunch of people here at APM that we're working on, that are working on projects to help us get cool things to the listeners. Like, I don't know. I felt really excited walking into this building today. One, because I was getting out of the rain, which was intense.
Yeah.
Like, you heard the thunderclap.
Yeah, which excited me. That's another great thing about being in the Midwest again. You get to hear Midwestern thunderclaps.
Yeah, but yeah, it's just great being here and just kind of, I don't know. I'm excited, and I'm excited that we have folks who support the show the way that listener Hess is doing and the way that listener Nicole Partridge is from Bothell, Washington. Hello, friendos. I don't think that's how Nicole talks, but maybe. Hello, friendos.
She says it even more disengaged, like Bran from Game of Thrones.
Oh, wow.
Hello, friendos.
Nicole is just sitting over in the corner of Studio P. By the way, it has been madness trying to avoid Game of Thrones spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
Starting last night when I was on the aeroplane coming here, I had the internet, and so I was on Twitter, and I was just like, ooh, I got to step back from this because everybody's making jokes and references about who's next and this and that, and I'm like, I'm learning things I don't want to learn. And then today, all the normal news sites I check are all breaking it down. Listener Nicole in Bothell says, once again, it's the time when I get to let all of the tens know how much I love this show and the community we've created. Thanks to Luke and Andrew for being the best part of my commute. Yeah, Nicole, depending on where you happen to work, Bothell can be a real bear of a commute. So I'm glad we can be part of that with you, help make it a little bit less terrible. Looking forward to seeing all of you for the 3,000th show. Yeah, Nicole, that's going to be fun. Got any ideas where we should do that?
Are you asking me or are you
asking Nicole?
Nicole. Okay. Yeah.
Rhetorically, but not really rhetorically. Which I'm sure you guys are very busy planning while readying their Thrive reports to ensure that you are still employed. God, Nicole, you're so much more right than you could ever know. Since I get to use this time as a bit of a soapbox, I will ask one thing. Support your local public libraries. Maybe not by creepily hanging out with the stuffed animals
all
in
right.
the children's section, Andrew.
Okay, all right. It was once. It wasn't creepy. It was adorable. And then they kicked me out.
The tens are bright, curious people who want to learn more about their world, and libraries help everyone do that. So go show your librarian some love. Power out, Nicole, a Both 10.
These are not the Both 10s you're looking for.
Many Both 10s
That's the
donated.
Line. Oh, my
many
God.
Both 10s donated to bring you this information.
I apologize to all. It was the wrong line. I knew that there was a Star Wars joke in there somewhere.
Nicole and Hess, thank you so much for making this possible. We really do appreciate it.
Help me, Both 10. You're my only hope.
Hey, you want to go to Bothton Market later? I think they have one in the food court.
Hey, one quick little note. Later on, we keep on forgetting to play the song Downtown, which a previous dazzling donor wanted us to end a show with last week, and we forgot. So we're going to play that at the end of the show today. Don't let me forget, okay?
I won't. By Maylee right. Todd. This is actually exactly. The perfect time. We're in downtown St. Paul.
Exactly.
So this is actually going to be very, very appropriate.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
Our top story today from the Minnesota
Noise
Department. I have a lot of
Minnesota noise.
That's got to be a thing,
noise.
Right?
Some free weekly or something must have a regular column here called Minnesota Noise.
I don't know.
Maybe
I didn't
not.
See it anywhere. I mean, I also
it's
don't
brilliant.
Really know if. Much like calling toppers, I don't know if that was the strongest way to start our week of shows from St. Paul. As I told you, I get very emotional when I watch things on airplanes. I think I'm in a weird headspace when I'm up there in the sky. And yesterday I was like, oh, we have two Minnesota stories, which actually you found, Andrew, and thank you for doing that.
Sure.
And I thought, oh, well, let's just bundle them together in kind of a Minnesota-related thing. And then I was like, well, people talk a lot about the Minnesota nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, isn't that a thing Key and Peele do? They say,
noise!
So then I thought, oh, Minnesota noise. But again, I had that thought at 30,000 feet, and I'm sure most of the ideas I have up there are questionable. I find myself underlining lots of passages out of magazines I'm reading. Everything feels very profound to me at altitude.
This is not a joke. Usually I make up websites. Do you know that there's actually a website called MinnesotaNoise.org?
How do they spell noise?
N-O-I-S. CE, and you open it up, it says, we're Minnesota Noise, because you know that noise obviously is beyond Key and Peele, right? Like, that's
I had heard it floating around the internet, I'd heard people saying it. I couldn't quite find the origin of it. Clearly, the most popular version of it is the Key and Peele sketch. But
I think the Key and Peele sketch is parodying something that was already out there.
Okay.
So, like, because you'll hear it, like, it seems like a very Andy Samberg-y thing to say, too. And really, like, where you'll hear it often, I like that now I'm the person who's explaining modern slang,
sure.
even though I wasn't supposed to ever even acknowledge modern slang anymore. But where I see it a lot is in, like, message boards or whatever. Like, if the numbers 420 or 69 come up, you're supposed to sarcastically say to your friend, noise.
Right.
Yes. But I don't know why. I don't know what those numbers mean.
What I noticed, too, is there's two different ways of spelling it.
Oh, yeah?
So there's the way you spelled it, like as in Minnesota, N-O-I-C-E, but then there's N-O-O-I-C-E, which
Whoa.
Is a whole other world.
Like if it's really noise?
Apparently.
Noise.
Apparently. So, story one from our Minnesota noise segment. Rental scooters were temporarily banned here in St. Paul, Minnesota. They're coming back. This summer, but you noticed this because you showed up here all excited, right, to ride on or at least have the option of riding on a rental scooter because you had signed up for the app last time we were here in St. Paul, right?
Yeah, and actually I got a new phone, as I mentioned, so I re-downloaded the app in anticipation of scooting around the town, and I came here and I did forget, you know, I feel bad for starting the show by saying how kind of shocked I was by how dead downtown was yesterday. I did forget that it was Easter Sunday, so it was probably even keeping more people home than usual. But also, I was like, well, I can still get on one of those scooters and zip around. And because I got off the plane, I hadn't eaten all day. I was starving. I just went back to the same pub we usually go to get a French dip. And I was like, I'll scoot there. And I just couldn't find them anywhere. So I downloaded the app and I'm like, I'll look for them around. And there was nothing showing up on the app. And so I went onto the old Googles and I looked it up. I'm like, did they ban them here? And they did. They temporarily banned the scooters, both Bird brand scooters and apparently Lime bike scooters were here for a while too. And they were super popular. People loved them, but apparently they were also a nuisance because people were leaving them all over the place. Last time we were here, they were scattered all over the place.
I have been in so many American cities of late that are just absolutely overrun by – this is the most no fun side of me that you'll probably experience. The people just like throw them all over the sidewalk. If you're a person who's in a wheelchair, I know that it can actually be really problematic in that, you know, just for access. There's something about, I mean, let's be honest, not all the time, but a good percentage of the time, it's probably people who are kind of into their cups using them. When I was in San Diego, there were so many drunk people on these scooters and they were going fast on the street. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this just seems like a real accident waiting to happen.
Was that at night? Do you mind me asking? Because I noticed one thing when last time we were here and we were using them for the first time, we learned that they shut them down at a certain time to avoid that.
Right. But there's Right. That's like 1 in the morning or something.
Okay.
Like when they think people are leaving the bars like in droves, I think they turn them off. But I think at about like I must have been going to get some dinner at like 9 at night, which on a Friday night is still, you know, depending on someone's personal partying schedule. 9 at night could be, you know, late enough.
Sure.
that you're already a little tuned up.
9 in the morning does it for me.
So I think these things are super fun, but I also just kind of still can't quite believe that it's allowed because they block the sidewalk. They go pretty fast. You're supposed to drive in the street, but it's like if you're driving in the street, I feel like you're going to crash into a car. I was shocked at how fast they go my one time on one because it was just behind this very building. We were coming back from lunch. You had rented one, and you were very kind, and you let me get on it. And I was thrilled and mildly scared at how fast that thing would let me go. Mm-hmm.
And then you started doing jumps, started jumping.
I tried to do some jumps because of the show-off demon.
Mm-hmm.
And then the crazy part is it actually – I think you might have used this for a show pick.
It showed
my route that I was on the scooter for all of like 3 minutes that I was on, and it was a real ziggle-zaggle.
I
ziggle-zaggled all around the parking lot, and then I wondered, did somebody – somewhere see this particular ziggle zaggling and think,
we can't
have this. Like, do you think I ruined it?
You think you're the reason?
I mean, it's possible. We can't rule it out.
Unfortunately, with the new phone, and maybe because that was a year ago, they have deleted the map from my history. I no longer see it, but it was a very, very fun map to see. Like, I had this short little, like, half mile little steady Eddie trip, and it wasn't even that steady, to be honest with you. If you saw me in person, you'd see I was pretty nervous about it.
You seemed fine.
It wasn't even a half a mile. It was half a block, I think I did, to get here one day. And then the next map was you, where it just looked like a kid had taken a crayon and just scribbled all over my computer screen.
It was so fun. But again, I just, you know, now that we're done thanking the donors, I can go back to expressing my low opinion of the American public. I just tend to think we, as a society, and I put myself at the top of the list, I don't think we can be trusted with most things. Like, you know, again, I know this isn't a fun take on this story, but I can't believe that there aren't more lawsuits and there aren't more people getting really hurt on these things. And again, people who are in a wheelchair or have mobility issues and they can't get down the sidewalk mm-hmm. because there's a bunch of scooters lying
yeah.
everywhere. It really does seem like it's not particularly well thought through. It's also, we're at this moment in our kind of development as a society where, like, I'm pretty down on Silicon Valley. I'm pretty down on tech disruption. And it just feels like a bunch of disruptors were like, you know what we can do?
Mm-hmm.
Make these scooters and just litter the landscape with them and then let God sort them out. I'm just kind of not pro these. Even though as a kid I was obsessed with scooters.
Yeah, I got mixed emotions about that too because
the only one.
I love our new reality of car share services, obviously. We're big Lyft users now. We used to be big Uber people. And I love the fact that we're not, you know, totally reliant on cabbies anymore and everything that went along with the rudeness.
Going uptown?
I'm telling you, though. I mean, I don't know how much you used them, but in Boston, like, that's when I started using cabs a lot in earnest. And it was just so terrible calling a cab in Boston because, like, you would be dealing with dispatchers who were like so rude, like incredibly rude. And then you never knew if the car was going to show up. I don't have to list all the problems with the taxis.
Can I say this really quick, though? I don't want to interrupt your story too much, but another swish.
No, you're trying to.
I was willing to pretend that you totally swished your third tissue of the day.
I'm just throwing dirty tissues around the studio like a monkey in captivity.
Please stop the analogy there because of the other things I know that monkeys do in captivity. I do not want to see from right here. I was just going to say real quickly, I have had an odd kind of, I guess you could say, rapprochement with taxi cabs, which is I agree 100% with what you're saying. For the longest time, because taxi cabs had the market cornered,
mm-hmm.
there was just – you'd call the dispatcher and you would be like – you know, what time are they going to be here? I'm trying to get to the airport. You know, time
right,
is of
yeah.
the essence. And they just, they're on the way. Well, can you tell me
right.
how close they are? No, they're on
yeah.
the way. It's like, it was a very dysfunctional relationship. And then I think most of us switched over to ride shares. And ride shares are, I think, better on almost every level. But in a place like New York, ride shares are kind of an S show because those Most of those New York rideshare drivers have gotten hip to the fact that they don't want to drive you somewhere. They don't want to drive you, even though the whole point of the rideshare is they're not supposed to know what's going on. So when, like I told you, when I was in doing the show from New York recently and I was just trying to go to the CBS offices, I got canceled on like five times.
Yeah, right.
Like it's a real – and so what did I end up doing? Walking down to a taxi that was there, and the guy actually was very nice. Now, I don't know if Taxi Drivers of America have had to like – kind of like work on their, you know, public relations. But he was a total sweetheart. And it was weird because I was like, oh, what a weird, what an amazing thing. You mean I just walk up to this car?
Right. Yeah.
And I just ask him to take me somewhere and he takes me there? Is that a thing? And I was like, oh my God, taxi cabs are the new ride shares.
And well, if nothing else, though, still to bolster my point, like I still think that the competition has helped that as well.
Sure.
You know, like having more options. And all of this was just to say, I'm with you about this uncomfortable feeling about these quote-unquote disruptors. I will never say disruptor without saying quote-unquote around it, by the way. I just feel uncomfortable doing that. I don't want to buy into the jargon. But this idea of these tech companies just coming in and just kind of slamming their way into our society and saying, we're just going to provide this. You guys all figure it out later. But in a certain way, that's how they got it done. You know what I mean? If Uber wasn't like kind of this big company, you know, and again, we could go into details about Uber and some of these other companies as well. I mean, they do some things right. They do some things wrong. But, you know, some cities are so slow to move when it comes to these things that I understand why a company is like, we're just going to come in. We're going to barge in here. You guys figure it out later. And that's what happened with Bird and Lime Bike with these scooters. And I wanted to mention that they are coming back this spring. Now,
I would love
April
it if
now.
LimeWire.
Did I say LimeWire?
No, you said Lime Bike. Oh, yeah. But I'm just thinking I'd love it if LimeWire and Kazaa both had bikes or scooters.
I think that the Bird is going to – I think I saw in one of these articles that when they come back this spring, they're going to have more like souped up, like bigger scooters now too that go a little bit faster. I could be wrong about that.
No, they don't need to go faster.
I know.
Honestly.
Although you also want to ride one more now.
I mean, honestly, you want to see a zigzag, my friend. No, but like – no, like seriously, they don't need to go faster. Like if you want to get some motorized thing and go to a track and have your fun – but like I have never seen someone cruising on one of these and thought, I wish they could do that faster.
Yeah, without a helmet.
Without a helmet. Again, this is 9-year-old Luke is just so disappointed in 42, almost 43-year-old Luke. But
we all are.
I just don't think that the issue with these scooters is that they go too slow. Like at some point, it's like you need to get a different conveyance.
Mm-hmm.
Either get a bike that you're riding, which feels safer to me for some reason. Maybe it's not. But it just seems safer. Maybe I just have more experience with bikes or get into a rideshare or do something else. But like, we don't need these scooters to go 30 miles an hour, it would seem.
You know what I saw the other day? I'm pausing because I'm trying to figure out here if I can actually describe it. But it's like a jet suit, a jet propellant suit. Am I using that word right?
Maybe.
You winced a little bit. But instead of being on your back like a jet pack, it's on your arm. So it's a lot like Tony Stark. It's a lot like Iron Man in the movies. You must have to have really strong upper body strength to do this, but I watched this whole video. Genevieve's always on Reddit now, and she's always sending me these Reddit things, which is probably why I know so much about noise. But you wear this big noise jacket that's heavy, and then on your arms are these giant tube-looking things, and I think they're just thrusting air, but at a really, really, you know, I guess, what, compressed air, it's so strong that it can push you up off the ground, and I'm watching this video of this guy who's wearing this black jacket and has these big things on his arms, and he's moving them around, and he's hovering over the ground, he's flying over water, at one point, it's shooting tons of, but I mean, he's significantly up there. Now, I don't think you can fly. It's literally pushing you off the ground or the water that's below you, so I don't think you can go super high in it. But it was something to see. In the video, he lands on the back of a moving truck at one point.
Wow.
It was something.
I definitely don't have the core strength for that.
I don't think I do either.
That's just one big I forget there's a name for that when you like are in that one machine at the gym where you kind of are like doing like a crunch where you bring your legs up.
Yep.
I think it's called the Iron Cross or something, that little device. But that does sound fun. I do think that there is, because I am a noted futurist and also physicist and Topper's Pizza fan, So often, those are the three things that are mentioned about me. I do think that there are just some kind of like rules of physics that I don't think we can get past, like having to do with thrust and, because I'm thinking like, wow, someday will we have the jetpacks that have, you know, been promised, as the name of the band would indicate. Isn't there a band called We Were Promised Jetpacks?
Yeah, I think so.
That whole, you know, where are the jetpacks? I'm a little, you know, the joke has been made enough.
Yeah.
But like there, it would be cool if we could fly around someday. But I also do think that there feels like there's a physical barrier having to do with just like the things that physically have to happen. I guess maybe if we come up with a chemical that's so combustible that you can create. This is where I'm now just saying nonsense gibberish that the listeners will be cringing over. But
go on, Shingy.
Have you seen my TED Talk?
I have. Digital. The future is digital.
But anyway, I don't know. I would definitely try something like that, too. Hey, can I tell you a thing that I don't want to try?
Yes.
That's part of the future that I saw an ad for it last night. And I was like, y'all need to work on your, I don't know what, your marketing. It's for a rental car company where you just rent other people's cars.
Oh.
And the spiel was, I believe the company is called like Turo or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the commercial goes, if I remember right, something like this. Tired of waiting in lines and going to, like, we're not a rental car company. We're just people. And I was like, I don't want to drive a random person's car. Like, what is under the seat? Where am I
boogers?
Where am I gonna find? Like, I'm gonna be like, what I like about the rental car company experience is I know where the rental cars are.
Right. Yeah.
Like, now, granted, waiting in a line at a rental car place is not the greatest experience, but I like knowing that I like knowing where the cars are. I don't want to meet a guy at a corner somewhere so that I can drive his Altima.
Yeah.
For 3 hours and then bring it back to him. What they were promoting was everything I don't like about interactions. Talking to a person I don't know who's not doing it for their job, being in their space, being in their car that they use normally, but just today they're trying to make money by letting me borrow it. Like, I can't remember the exact specifics, but everything they were saying that was supposed to be a reason you'd want to use this service was exactly why I would never use this service.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see how that pans out, because I have the same reaction you do, but I think other people might have had the same reaction when things like Lyft came along.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what do you mean? Just some guy in his own car, they put a pink mustache on? Like, that seems weird. But the company has standardized it in this way that all the cars are clean and meet a certain kind of threshold of cleanliness and
which
other
I'm sure
things.
This other company is doing with
right.
theirs.
So I wonder if it does become normalized. But you're right. Like, how far does it go? It's like, go to myboudoir.net to borrow my bedroom for the evening. Like, what? No. How about some things are just my space that we don't? Well, of course, I guess I just described an Airbnb, right?
I just feel like, to me, the car is such a, this person owns this car only for the purpose of renting it out. If it's their real car, that feels like maybe the most intimate space you could share with some person you don't know. Being in their car.
Mm-hmm.
How many farts have been farted into the seat of that car? Now, I'm not saying it hasn't happened in a rental car.
Yeah, that's what I was.
But there's something about...
It's the same farts. That's what bugs you.
Exactly.
It's not a bunch of strangers.
I just like a variety of farts. Andrew, please. Do we have time to talk haberdasheries and radio?
Yeah, I think we do.
Okay.
I'm trying. I'm actively trying to cancel our 1 o'clock meeting, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
It's so funny. We are in a totally and completely like obscure part of the building. Like, we are so tucked away up here. I think I may have referenced this last time or the first time we were here. This feels like the room the kid in The Neverending Story is reading in when it's like there's a storm and he's up in the attic and he's reading and he's in the book. We are so far out of the, like, what I think of as the kind of normal mainstream of this building. And we have a sign on the door that says live broadcast, and a guy just opened the door.
I'm surprised by that, too, because, well, I mean, here's the deal. This feels very, very tucked away for us, but I don't know that you and I have a good sense of how much this is used. I think it's used the studio space more than we think, because they were recording music up here last time. Apparently, they'll use this control room to mix in the dark a lot and get, like, because it looks like a pretty hefty, like, mixing board in here. But it is funny that we have two really heavy fire doors between the main hallway and here. And the first door says, open doors very slowly. Recording may be in progress. I thought that was fine. Another fella came in here. He said, hey, how about I put another sign on the second door that says, don't come in here. There's definitely a recording in process. We watched him hang that up. And somebody just wandered in.
A guy with a man bun just opened the door and then turned around very sheepishly.
Now, here's the one thing. There is a chance that, like, somebody has this signed out. Now, like, we got off to a really late start, mostly my fault because of all this other production stuff we were doing. So, I mean, there's a chance that we're squatting in somebody else's time, but I don't know.
Well, does that mean that we don't have time to talk about this haberdashery? How about this? Why don't we do some emails?
Okay.
Why don't we come back to this tomorrow? And that will also give me a chance to do Minnesota Nice Day 2.
I like really that.
Noise!
In fact, maybe it can be a running segment the whole week.
That would be great, especially since you paid so much money for that noise sound effect.
I'm a close personal friend with Jordan Peele's close personal friend.
Right, that
so
is true.
I feel like we kind of have the rights to it.
That's right. All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week, I hope that it's from a female. Oh, man. It's not from a female.
I don't know if you've got some emails that you're just champing at the bit over, but I have one that I really wanted to read to you if it's not on your list.
Okay, cool. Well, let me start really quickly, if you don't mind, to remind everybody that our dear friend, Nora McInerney, is having a live show at the end of this week. She's actually going to join us on the show at some point this week. But if you haven't gotten your tickets yet and you're in the Portland area, April 26th, live performance of Terrible Things for Asking. She's going to read from her book a little bit. I just wanted to get that out there one more time. Get as many seats filled as possible.
Nice.
Yes.
Yes.
Noice.
Noice. I got this email. Well, we got this email, actually, and maybe it was on your list already, Andrew, from listener Maylene regarding cassowaries.
Yes, yes. I mentioned this on Friday's show. Go for it.
Okay, so the cassowary is this very terrifying bird that lives in Australia. One of the many things that could injure or harm us when we're on our big trip there. And then listener Maylene said, I had to pause Wednesday's show just now and write in because hearing Luke mention the cassowary during the show intro sent chills down my spine. Not only because I have ornithophobia, fear of birds larger than pigeons. That's amazing to me.
That is amazing to me that they have such a specific name for a type of, like, you were just saying there's one word and it means anybody who's scared of any bird.
I think it does mean that, but I think listener Maylene is clarifying that her ornithophobia it starts with birds larger than pigeons. I'm sure that ornithophobia, some people are probably afraid of starlings or, you know what I mean? She's just clarifying that in her case, under the size of a pigeon, she's okay with it. Larger than a pigeon, things get dicey. For her. She says, I wanted to email you because I have ornithophobia and also because I've come face to face with a cassowary. Now, this is where I'm like, of all the people to come face to face with what is to anyone a terrifying bird, imagine having ornithophobia and then also, like, how often do those Venn diagrams overlap? I don't have ornithophobia. I may meet a cassowary. Somebody, like, I just can't believe that would have happened to listener Maylene, but apparently it did. In the summer of 2003, I took a month-long student exchange trip to Australia, where we spent the last week at an eco-resort in Cairns. Around dusk, while a few of us took a walk on a path through the forest, something caught my eye, and I heard some rustling. Out of curiosity, and in hindsight, stupidity, kids, am I right? I peered into the forest trees, and what should be looking at me? You guessed it. Again, it'd be like me coming face to face with a great white, Andrew. Like, I'm afraid of sharks.
Yeah.
I would never swim in an area where there was known to be great white sharks. I can't believe listener Maylene is afraid of birds larger than a pigeon and then finds herself peering into dense foliage where there is a giant terrifying bird.
It'd be like if I were there and I'm just like peeling the leaves back and all of a sudden I'm face to face with a big chunk of unmelted cheese.
Exactly. That also is everywhere in the Outback.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You call that a Limburger?
Oh, my God.
I quickly moved away from the area and we walked back to the resort. I asked the staff about my encounter with a creature of my height that lurks inside the forest, and they told me all about the terrifying cassowary. As someone who's afraid of large birds, I feel like I escaped death that night. Yeah, you did. 100%. Like, you know, we joke about close calls on the show, and people can employ a certain amount of hyperbole. No, listener Maylene, you you were face-to-face with a thing that just killed a dude in Florida.
Mm-hmm. She says, I just learned that cassowaries, I feel like I escaped death that night, having learned that cassowaries can slice you right up the middle if provoked. Slice you right up the middle, Luke.
Man, thank God they're more Queensland than where we're going to be. They're in the jungle, they're in the tropics, if you will. We're going to be in the dry, baked, bone dry section of the country, which also, by the way, Maylene mentions this book that she thinks that we should read by Bill Bryson, In a Sunburned Country, which you have started reading and you've been sending me selections from. We don't have to get into it right now, but let me just say, it doesn't appear to be lowering your concerns about Australia, Andrew, Bill Bryson's book.
Yeah, I mean, I'm loving the book, and a lot of people have recommended it, and he's really funny. Actually, the funniest part of the book so far is a scene where he's in Australia. Before doing his official book research, he's there to take part in some sort of an article, because he's a famous travel writer. This book was written around 2000, and one of the newspapers out there had him come visit, hang out with one of their reporters, and they wanted to do a feature piece, like Bill Bryson on Australia. And the woman, the reporter who takes him out, takes him on all these, you know, various corners of Australia to see things. And one of the things she does is she takes him swimming, actually boogie boarding, and I didn't realize how self-deprecating he is, and his story about even just like taking off his shirt in front of like this photographer and this reporter, and how uncomfortable he was in his own skin, like, spoke to me like you have no idea. And then his inability to boogie board in front of these people and just how embarrassing it was. It is a wonderful book, but I have been also saving some little snippets to share with you later on of just like he talks about going on this adventure that he feels like he survived something, that he couldn't believe how treacherous this place is. He was on a train and went maybe an eighth of the way that what we're planning on doing. Like, and he's kind of like, man, it is nasty out there, was a direct quote. And I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, we're doing this alone without any guides all the way across the continent.
Do they even have Topper's Pizza out in the Outback?
I could call somebody and find out.
Well, I'm going to choose to stick with my response that I sent to you when you sent me the latest Bill Bryson dispatch about poisonous snakes and the like.
Yeah.
And I just said, this is going to be fun! Exclamation
It is going
to
be fun.
I'm choosing to just embrace that side of life, for albeit possibly a short life.
While we're on the topic of Australia, let me share one more email we got. This is from listener Liam. You were concerned about having like extra gas in gas containers in the back of our car, and you had mentioned kind of like maybe trying to seal them up in bags.
Or at least bring Terry the dog.
Or bring Terry the dog to blame it on. But you were concerned about like driving around with the smell of gas fumes. And I said, I think we can just get modern, brand new, I'm going to start saying petrol containers.
Ooh, nice.
That are going to be built for this task, and it shouldn't be an issue. But Liam warns us, do not try to make gas canisters airtight. Gas expands and contracts a lot. So approved gas containers have bleed valves, which should not be covered lest you want some homemade petrol bombs in your car. I would advise tying or strapping it to the roof. I don't know that that's going to be an option for us. He also says, this is interesting because Bryson mentioned this in his book too. He's driving a diesel vehicle out there. And Liam says, I would advise trying to get a diesel vehicle because they usually have a very long range and they're more popular than they are here. Finally, speaking of diesel, so this is really good advice. This is something that will stick with us, I think. Whatever we're driving, whether it's diesel or non-diesel, make sure you know and remind yourself what color gas pump is normal petrol and which is diesel, because the colors are coded differently over there. So let's be very careful when we're filling up, because you don't want to put the wrong kind of gas in.
I'm hoping that they have, that would be a bad situation. I'm hoping that, because I have done this before, where I've just been not really paying attention and I've grabbed the like diesel handle. And the opening in a car that uses regular gas is usually different.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. That's smart.
I know this from personal experience because I was like, what? Again, I was like, why doesn't this thing fit? What the? I'm only tipping $5. And I was like, oh, no, because I'm trying to put the diesel handle
$5
into the, so they have kind of idiot proofed it, at least over here in the States, but I don't know what's going on in Australia. And you're right, we should be really careful, because that would, if we put the wrong kind of petrol in our quashquai, game over, dude.
Put the petrol in the quashquai. I have a wonderful email here, but it's a little bit long. It's about bears and hiking. Can I share it with you?
Sure, absolutely.
Are you feeling okay about this?
I'm feeling great. You're going to have it out with the guy who came in here and found the place littered with spent tissues. Probably got to do performance today. He's probably got to record. I don't know. The piano in here has a cover that says The World Theater. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, it does.
But it's fairly fancy.
I wonder if that guy left not because he saw we were recording, but because it's just we're knee deep in my old tissues
in that
right
hoopla.
Now. Sam says, listening to Luke's hiking adventures is like listening to more than a couple of my dad's hiking tales. My dad turned 70 this year, but he's a total mountain man bro who refuses to admit he's no longer 30, which will eventually be problematic as I am approaching 30 myself.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy whose second heart attack occurred on a nighttime off-trail hike, during which he drove to our house to ask for assistance. Bears used to frequent our old family house, and my father has had more run-ins than I can count on at least twice weekly walks, which he still does now while waiting for his knee replacement surgery. Okay, so this is where things get interesting. My father has found great success with bear horns. They're essentially ear-piercing little air horns that scare the shit out of furry non-friends. And my dad has used them several times while face-to-face with bears. I still have a father, so it would seem that they work. My dad, however, carries this horn with him at all times in his weekend fanny pack. By the way, do you know don't say fanny? Did we ever talk about that?
No.
A lot of warnings from listeners. Don't say fanny pack in Australia. It means something very dirty there. They call them, like, I don't know, bottom bins or something. They're not bottom bins. Kneesy.
I don't need
crouch
to know
cream
about your internet search history for bottom bins.
But don't say a fanny pack when we're in Australia, please. Anyway, he tells us that carrying around these things is good because he slings it over his shoulder in a cool way when he goes out on the town, and he only wears it around his waist in the woods. This becomes a major problem when, say, it accidentally goes off while waiting in line at a bank. My father naturally did what we'd all do in such a situation and began looking around with confusion in what must have been an Oscar-worthy performance. He tends to go tomato red when embarrassed, so I would have given a pretty much anything to watch this happen. So he's got a fanny pack, which we can't say in Australia.
A bottom bin.
But he thinks it's cool if he
doesn't wear bottom bin, for the record.
If he doesn't wear it around his bottom. So he's slinging it over his shoulder, and then it goes off at the bank. the
I'm hitting the ground,
place.
By the way. I'm hitting the ground. I think that it's a robbery.
Right.
Wow.
Now, Sam says, I know what you're thinking. That's the kind of mistake you only make once. Nope. Dad still carries the horn in the same way and has disrupted more than a few quiet brunches out, much to my mom's mortification. So my advice would be to carry a horn, but not everywhere. Also, my father has occasionally taken a sip from a fresh-looking stream. Please don't do that. My dad ended up with an infection that my doctor-phobic father let continue until his kidneys began shutting down and was, quote, 5 minutes from death, according to the ambulance's EMTs in a somebody who saved his life. Anyway, these are my father's comparatively dull stories, so until next one, I send you off power out. Sam.
Okay. I love this guy, by the way. I love this dad.
Sam's dad? Yeah.
Yes. Well, that's the thing is you can't drink. I love that I think that I'm Mr. Outdoors now. The deal is if you're drinking from a fresh stream, just make sure that it has not run through a trail at any point. Like, it's not a trail crossing because that's like people are out there with horses. That's where you get Giardia. That's where you get, what is it, hoof and mouth disease because like they're walking through the stream. You got to be heads up on that stuff. The bear horn is an interesting idea. I have bear spray. I'm also wondering what I have yet to come face to face with a bear. I don't know what my reaction would be. I'm worried that I would like really, really not remember the plan. Like when I was on that big long hike with Rudy the other day and kind of in real like remote territory, I started to get a little nervous and I started to like I was practicing my bear spray.
Yeah.
Like practicing because what I thought was the second that if a bear were to actually show up, my mind would go totally blank. It'd be like the airplane. I have heard the evacuation speech 100,000 times at this point in my life. If the plane started having trouble, I would have no idea what to do.
Do you know that? I was thinking about this in the flight out here because I was in the exit row. And I hadn't sat in an exit row in a little bit, I think. And the woman gave the spiel. She was really cool about it, by the way. She was kind of like...
Did you get nervous before the verbal confirmation that you were willing to do it?
Just like nervous that I had to speak in public?
That's the most nervous I get for public speaking.
It's weird, isn't it?
I'm not saying that to try to be funny. It's honestly, when they're going, I need a verbal confirmation, they're going down the line and it's almost my turn and I know I'm supposed to say yes, I get really stressed out
about weird?
How my voice is going to sound, if I'm going to like have some kind of a issue in the middle of it or if I'm going to sound weird when I say it.
And it's like the one moment where you can't vamp. You have one word and you have to say it.
You have to nail it.
You have to nail it.
And I, you know, it makes my voice is going to be heard out loud in the plane, which I don't like. I really overthink that move.
Wow.
And
are you worried that somebody's going to recognize your voice?
No. God, no. Just worry I'm going to sound weird.
Okay.
I'm just going to do it wrong.
Right.
And I sit in the exit row all the time because if I'm not able to weasel my way into first class, I usually weasel my way into an exit row. So this is a very common thing for me.
Well, you know that I'm a nervous flyer, and my nervousness has been increasing over the years. And one thing about sitting in the exit row was, for some reason, you know, I've heard that spiel a million times. I never really give it much consideration. I'm like, if anything happens to this plane, trust me, they're not relying on me to, you know, save any lives here. It all just seems like a formality. But somehow I like listened to it this time and I really like kind of internalized it and it helped me over my fear a little bit. Like if there was turbulence or anything or what happens to me, by the way, if you're wondering how it manifests, is sometimes you'll just be flying and you get a little bit of turbulence or maybe it just pops in your head for no reason and you just start picturing what would be going on in that moment if the plane was going down. And it is absolutely terrifying. But what I did was I pictured myself helping people. And it really – I was just like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And like, and somehow – and it wasn't like I was a kid again picturing my heroics. It was just kind of like, well, what would you do? Okay, well, you open it there. Like somehow just focusing on giving myself something to do as opposed to just looking like monks the scream as I'm going down in an airplane. Like,
well, you know you wouldn't be opening the door as the plane's going down.
No, I know, but it just sort of
having a job, being useful,
it's all ridiculous. It's all mental anyway. Yeah. But somehow I was able to just kind of short circuit my brain a little bit and just think about like, okay, well, you're going to just try to gut it out on the way down, and then when you're down, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just kind of like
having something to do.
Yeah.
Helped you feel less nervous.
Which is why I'm going to ask them if I can either help fly the plane on the way back to Seattle. Maybe. I think I would actually be a decent flight attendant. My mom was a flight attendant for a while.
I didn't know that. You'd be a great flight attendant. You're very thoughtful.
You know, the one thing would be, though, squeezing down those aisles. I'm a big man. There's not a lot of room. You got that big cart full of stuff. I think I'd be stepping on people all the time.
I don't think you would be stepping on people, but I think you would be so worried about
stepping on people. Sorry.
That creates a million opportunities for you to be almost in someone's space, which would be unsettling for you. By the way, just because right before we started the show, I was booking some tickets for my mom.
Mm-hmm.
More on that never. But, I love my mom so much, but my mom is my mom, and she never disappoints with her sometimes interesting behavior. But I'll say
what's up, dog.
But I was helping her with these tickets, and I was reserving seats for her. And this is very cute because my mom is just such a she is just so interested in getting the cheapest flight possible that she literally never gets to even pick her seat. She flies like all over the country, and she never even knows what her seat's going to be. She just doesn't care. Or she just, like, to her, the fact, because I told her, I was like, hey, I'm really sorry, I got you a seat, but it's going to be kind of, you know, towards the back of the plane. And she was just like, oh, I never even know where my seat's going to be. Like, that's a treat to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, I just go up and I tell the flight attendant, I go up and I tell the gate agent, I'm claustrophobic. Can you put me in a window? And they always do. And I go, Mom, you realize that's the
opposite. Counterintuitive, yeah.
If you're claustrophobic, you'd want to be on the aisle. She goes, oh, yeah, I never thought of that. I love the idea that she has for years been not paying the money to reserve a seat, but then using the cover story of her claustrophobia to ask if she can be more ensconced in the seating arrangement. And it's been working.
So your mom, does she actually think that she does have a bit of claustrophobia? Or is she just lying?
She's just lying.
Oh, okay.
I mean, maybe she has a touch of it, but it's 100% so that she can try to get a seat that she wants.
I see, yeah.
But I just think it's hilarious that she's been saying, I'm claustrophobic. Can you please trap me between the wall of the plane and one to three other people? That's how I deal with my claustrophobia, by being way more trapped.
I'm sure that maybe a lot of gate agents are trained to, like, you know, especially if it's maybe an older woman, to, like, kind of just not really put up too much of a fuss
of
if you can help. But also I wonder if they're thinking, well, maybe, like, if you have a certain kind of claustrophobia, being able to look out the window might
that's what,
help.
That's what she said, because I told her that. You heard my half of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, oh, yeah, I never thought of that. Well, I guess I just tell them, you know, looking out the window makes me feel less claustrophobic.
Yeah, I could see that.
And I was like, okay, well, hey, whatever's working for you. But that's actually one of the kind of great things about my mom, is that, like, she's so not bougie that something as simple as, like, you know, like, for instance, when I flew out here, because the flight was really empty, I happened to get put in first class, which was pretty cool. But I'm not going to go down this road again, because I already outed myself for having my preferred sections of first class. And, like, what was funny was I'm sitting in the back of first class, like the last row of first class, totally fine, seats great, it's lovely, everything's good. And there's all these empty seats still. There's like six empty seats in first class. And they go back and they just start dragging people up from coach. Now, they were probably the people that were next on the list. But basically, like, what happened was, there's the seat in first class that I always want to have, which is the front row of first class on the window. Because it's the bulkhead, there's a little more room. The other person doesn't have to get up if you want to get up and go to the bathroom. And also, it's you get first pick on the food.
Oh, yeah, right.
And there's a whole thing with the food. Again, this is all very, very lucky and first world that this is ever an experience in my life. But sure enough, when they got back to our little row, they were like, yeah, we don't have any of the food left. We have this box of – literally, like, we have a box with hard-boiled eggs in it, which was great.
And, like, were they sous vide?
Yeah, exactly. They were not. I did eat them. They were delicious. It was fine. But so that's my world, is, like, I'm going, like, you know, I would have rather have been in 1F instead of 3A. My mom is just like, I get to be inside the plane? And I love that that's how she goes through the world. It's just like, she's just so much more likely to be happy. Like, I was flying her as a gift. I said I would fly her somewhere. And so she's going to visit her friend in Tampa. And then she's going to Philly to see my extended family, and then whatever. And it's like, She is one of these flights. It's like by way of Dallas, and it's like she. It's like a 9-hour total trip, and mm-hmm. she just is totally and completely like doesn't care. She's like, "Oh, that sounds great. That's awesome." And I just like, I would love to tap back into that a little bit in my own life because I have just worked myself into this place where I'm just so precious with every, I just need things to be so perfect. And my mom doesn't have that, and I actually really admire that about her.
It is funny how even if I didn't luck out or slash Genevieve didn't help me get plum
you,
seats.
First
on
of all,
the way
you
here.
Lucked out on your partner.
Well, obviously, in a lot of ways.
Globally speaking.
Right.
In a lot of ways.
But
what are the non what are the other ones? Let's destroy a relationship right now.
But there is something mental. Like if I don't fly for a really long time, any flight I'm going to be a little bit more anxious about. Just getting to the airport on time. Not huge anxiety, but just a little bit. Everything's going to seem a little bit more problematic, or I'm going to be more nervous about, is this going to work out or that? And I'm going to be trapped in a plane for a long time. But maybe the last few trips I've taken have been longer. Like the flight out to Hawaii was a pretty long one with two legs, and we caught the one was a red eye. It was just like, and I'm thinking about the Australia trip, which is going to be like, you know,
epic.
Yeah, like one leg of that alone is going to be 14 hours. And that's only part of it, and I think we have some middle seats in our future. And so hopping on a direct flight from Seattle to St. Paul on a mid-morning to early afternoon felt like walking to the coffee shop yesterday.
See?
It couldn't have been
this
more
is great.
Easy. And that was, again, even before I knew I was going to have the aisle seat. I was like, whatever it is, even if I get stuck in a middle seat – like, it'll be fine. It's only 3.5 hours, which ended up being 3 hours anyway.
You'd think just, like, I would be going in that direction because of the amount of travel I do.
Yeah.
But I'm going in the opposite direction,
right,
which is like, I was telling you how when I was went to Cleveland last week, I had a couple of legs of the flight where I was on an airline that I don't have any, like, special status with.
Uh-huh.
And the flights were fine. There was nothing. I mean, I wasn't even in a middle seat. I was still able to be in a window seat. It was just, I just didn't have any of my perks. And, like, you'd think I would just at this point be like, hey, whatever. You know, you get on the plane, you go to where you're going. And I'd have more tolerance for discomfort. Mm-hmm. I have less tolerance for discomfort.
I can sort of see that, though, too. I mean, you're up there so often, and then it becomes almost like you were joking around about driving somebody else's car before. And it feels like, in a certain way, the airplanes must start to feel like your car. Like, you're just in it all the time.
Yes, and you start to get really, like, nuanced about, oh, this is the – I see they haven't redone these Virgin planes
right,
yet. Like, used to have the lie-flat seats up here, and now they've just – you know, like, you start to – literally, the conversation that I had with the guy next to me was, like, 20 solid minutes on just – various airplanes that are used by the Alaska Airlines company.
That's an SNL skit, I feel like.
I know. It's too much. It's like, but, you know, similar guy, similar kind of like road warrior type dude who just, that's what you do. You gamify it and you get to the point mm-hmm. where you like have all of your special little like, you know, he was telling me about a route. He was actually a very nice guy. We don't have time to get into this, but it was an interesting conversation. He was a guy who's Indian American and you know, first generation. So his parents had come over from India. He moved here fairly young. And when I mentioned – somehow we got on the topic of like something that I used to do for work. Oh, we're talking about airplanes, and I talked about – I one time was in a Hurricane Hunter airplane, like a military plane that flies above a hurricane. I did this for an NPR story. And I just mentioned to him something about, oh, I've been in this Hurricane Hunter plane, and it's actually really boring and uncomfortable. And so he said like, well, how did you get to do that? And I said, well, I used to be a reporter for NPR. And he goes, huh? He goes, NPR. And now I'm just used to the bubble that I move in. If I mention I work at NPR, if NPR comes up with most people in my life, it's a positive. Mm-hmm. People are like, I love it. Mm-hmm. I love public radio. And he was a very smart, very reasonable guy. But he was like, is that of a liberal bias? And so then we started talking, and I kind of gave him my spiel on it, which is I don't think NPR has a liberal bias. I don't think public radio has a liberal bias, but I think public radio tends to sort of draw the same kinds of folks in. And so there's probably a groupthink that we don't even realize is going on because it's a lot of people from similar backgrounds with similar worldview. So there might be stuff that's not getting into shows, not because anyone's trying to put their thumb on the scale, but just because of groupthink or whatever. And then we start talking, and it's like he brings up this, you know, he's sort of like we're talking about Trump and immigration and he again, this guy was actually not reactionary at all, but he was like, yeah, you know, my parents waited a long time to come over here, and they did all the paperwork, and then they brought me. And then he goes, I did selective service. Like, there's all this stuff about being an immigrant to this country that I didn't even realize, where, like, he basically was on this list until he was 30, where they could have just drafted him at any moment. Did you know that was part of the deal?
No, I did not.
So I don't know if it was his particular paperwork or if this was for everybody that came through this process, but basically, in order to get to be in the country up until a certain age, he was like, he at any moment could have just been told, you got to go fight. Like,
really?
Because of him not, you know, because of like the privilege of being in the U.S. And his point was, he was like, I just am a little confused as to why it is that some people are following the rules and some people are under no obligation to follow the rules. And it was a totally different perspective for me, because I'm just used to everybody being in my bubble. And again, this guy was like, he's totally for like healthcare for all. Like, he voted for Obama one time. He voted for McCain one time. He was definitely like actually one of those people who seems to just be across the kind of political spectrum with his ideas. Like, he takes some things from column A and some from column B, mm-hmm. which a lot of people are like, I'm an independent, but it's like, yeah, really? Are you? You know,
yeah,
most
right.
of the time you kind of tend to go one way or the other. This guy genuinely was down the middle, but it ended up being a really interesting conversation. But one of the things he mentioned was he apparently flies this route to India on Emirates. And he said, if you fly from LA to, like, I don't know, some place that's not India, it's, I don't even know, Dubai. It's some crazy route on this plane that has a full bar upstairs.
Yeah, these are the really, really fancy ones that Jennifer
Hudson? Lawrence?
No, Jennifer Aniston advertises, right?
Oh, yes, sure. And he was saying that there, that like when you go in like first class or business, I don't know. I mean, I've never even been on a plane that has two like levels. That would mm-hmm. blow my
yeah,
mind.
Yeah.
He said the upstairs is you, he goes, what I usually do, he's like, is I'll take like a, you know, a Xanax, or he said, I'll take a melatonin and I'll sleep for the first 8 hours. He goes, and then you wake up and you're not tired. And there's just a party at the bar. Like, you're flying over the North Pole. People are doing shots. He's like, it's a legit fun bar.
That's exactly what it looks like in the commercials. Like Jennifer Aniston comes out of her little sleeper, I was going to say sleeper car, but that's not it.
Cabin.
Yeah, her cabin, and comes downstairs and like just like sits at the bar and enjoys some conversation with other people. It's really like that, huh?
Well, according to this guy, I've never been on one of those planes, but the point is, Andrew, I have something new to aspire to.
Yes. Well, I want to aspire
to. Do you guys have Klosthaler?
I like I want to take a train one of these days. Reading this Bill Bryson book has really kind of reignited that.
Oh, we
that
may be taking
me.
One through the Outback when our quashquai yeah. craps out because we put the wrong kind of petrol in it.
Our quashquai crapped out. Dang.
Hey, I was wondering something. Mm-hmm. Should we do an experiment this week? I know it's kind of a weird week to do it, but I have been getting some emails from people who really do like us ending the show with that song, Words by Doves. And I was kind of thinking to myself, like, it is one less annoying conversation we have to have at the end of the show. I certainly don't want to just unilaterally declare it's the new end of the show music.
Mm-hmm.
But one person suggested maybe it's kind of the default setting, like Monday through Thursday. And I thought, what if we just tried it for a week and see how we felt?
That would really disappoint Margaret Finnegan Boyle, our dazzling
what
donor
if starting
of last
tomorrow,
week.
What if starting tomorrow we experimented with that?
Maybe what we should do is, instead of always having a company, I think there are other listeners who really enjoy. I know some listeners hate our musical taste, and that's okay. They can be wrong. But other listeners, I think, like to build playlists off of our suggestions uh-huh. sometimes. But also, sometimes we just play stupid bullshit at the end of the show. So maybe we should try to avoid, like, a big brainstorming session at the end of the show. If
right.
we don't have an obvious thing to go to, or an idea, or Luke, I want you to hear this song, or you were talking about this, can we go out with this sugar song or what have you, then we just default to Words by Doves. So
okay.
in other words, we
yeah, because I just feel like there's a lot of times where it's the end of the show and one of us has to be somewhere, and it's like we're trying to wrap things up, but we're also trying to have this kind of half-hearted conversation about the musical choice, and I just like – I can't listen, long ago I stopped being able to tell what is and isn't interesting on this show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just one of the many things where I'm like, is this interesting to the listeners or just annoying to hear us try to hash it out?
That just hit me today for the first time, actually. for the first time today, I was like, huh, I wonder if this is interesting to listeners. Before that, I had total confidence. It must be something about St. Paul. No, I don't know what I'm talking about. I do feel off my nut today. I'm sorry about
really?
That. Yeah, do I don't know if I seem disengaged. No. I apologize.
No, you sound great.
I love being here. I do think that, you know, you asked me before the show, am I distracted by the calendar? And I don't know if I answered it, but if I had answered that, I would have truthfully said, no, that doesn't really bother me. But you know what? If I can be honest with you, yeah, I'm a little bit surprised by myself that I feel like my brain is kind of I have a bunch of different parts of my brain thinking about a bunch of different things right now. That usually doesn't happen to me on the show, I don't think, and it must have something to do with
we're physically
pretty
here.
Packed schedule.
We're
yeah.
physically here, and we have – I mean, there is like no downtime between now and when we go get dinner with El Ropo. So,
right.
So it's like, you know, and even I'm kind of like in the back of my mind thinking, man, we're going to finish this and then we're going to go right into another thing and then right into another thing and then right. It's just going to be constant. All right.
All right. So okay. We are going to go out with Margaret's suggestion that we accidentally did not play last week, which is Maylee Todd's Downtown. I haven't heard this yet. I'm looking for, have you listened to this? Have you
No,
this yet?
But is it a cover of the Petula Clark song?
I don't think so. Okay. I could be wrong. You know, the B-52s do a weird quasi cover of that as well.
A Quashkai cover?
It's a Quashkai cover on their very first record. It's the last track. Check it out sometime.
Okay.
It's weird.
Well, listen, thank you for being with us, everybody. Thanks for spending the time on TBTL. Thanks for helping make this all thing possible. We're going to wrap things up here, go into 93,000 meetings, and then be right back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio for you. So until then, enjoy your Monday. Go Mariners. Go St. Paul Saints. Go eat a pot belly. And please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
The way I do. Don't want much. Just the truth. I suppose. See the
power out.